in the state of Georgia, they passed where they can now discipline kids in school, paddling even. And one of the people that brought that news report said something to the, I didn't hear it, but said something to the effect of, not my child. And it goes right along with his testifying tonight that if discipline was given at home, you wouldn't have to worry about it in the school. But because it's not given in the home, they have to do it in the schoolhouse. And I grew up in a time that if we got paddling at school, we was going to get another one when we got at the house.
Amen.
Amen. So we had it both sides. We wanted to make sure that we didn't do anything to end up in the principal's office, especially with the Board of Education. You see, I've been there once, and that's what they had written on it. It was the Board of Education. It teach you not to go back again. Amen. In the book of Matthew is where we'll be reading from tonight in the 19th chapter while you pray for a few minutes of time. A very controversial message tonight, but yet a very needful message. Don't know if I've ever preached on this subject matter before, but it's important that we all listen to the Word of God, especially those that don't know Him, in a free pardon of sin, that you would examine your life and see where you stand with God. Matthew, the 19th chapter, if you found it this evening, and it sounds like everybody has, go with us reading verses 13, 14, and 15. 13, 14, and 15 in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew. It says, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hand on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And stop reading there with that 15th verse. And I'd like to use for text tonight the age of accountability. The age of accountability. How many of us tonight as parents wouldn't want the Lord to put his hands upon our children and bless them? This was in the Old and New Testament, both. An outward form of the greatest blessing that one could have on their life was to see your children blessed by God. In the Old Testament, they would bring them unto the priests, they would bring them unto the prophets, and even the fathers as they was about to pass, or the grandfathers as they was about to pass. You remember when Israel was about to pass, Joseph brought his children, Manasseh and Ephraim, he brought them all. And the fathers would put their hands upon their heads and bless them. And it was a high form, a very high form of a blessing upon one's life. We at times have had child dedication services where children were dedicated unto the Lord. To ask God to watch over them and to bless them like Hannah did Samuel. You know, she prayed for him before he was ever born. And she told the Lord, if you give him to me when he is weaned, I will give him back to you to work in your house. And here we find moms and dads heard that Jesus was in town. And they brought their children unto him that he would bless them. I can't think of anything better than to have the Lord lay his hands upon our children and bless them. And these were young children, it says, little children. But you know, in the Bible, the little children goes all the way up to the time that there's no differentiation until they become a young man or a man or a woman. At this time, these little children could have been at any age that up until adulthood, that were moms and dads brought up to him for this blessing. When we see that all that was done, and those that rebuked those that brought the children, the Lord looked at them and said, "Suffer them to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And forbid them not. He wanted them to come. God loves children. And he wants children to love him. These little ones that just sung that song for us. And what a blessing it is to see young children working for the Lord. And we know that when these children were brought to him and he blessed them, after that blessing, they walked away and they were thrilled, no doubt. If they weren't, their parents were, that Jesus took time to bless their kids along life's journey. For many times in many years, it has been debated as to what age a person comes to accountability. We know that there is no specific age that one comes to know right from wrong. We come to know right from wrong at different ages along the journey. Some have said it was at 12 years old, and they use various scriptures to explain that. And we find that Jesus, you remember when they was on the road to Jerusalem for the Passover, in the book of Luke in the second chapter, that he was 12 years old when they began to go on their journey and found out 3 days into the journey that he was missing. And they went back and they found him teaching in the temple. So some say it was 12 because of that, or because it was the damsel that died that was 12 years old and the Lord brought her back to life. He spoke the words that Tabitha, you remember that he spoke those words and said, "She's alive." Or that it was Jairus' daughter in the book of Luke that was 12 years old and it passed and the Lord said that she was alive. He gave her the healing and brought her back to life. There's many different things said about the age of accountability. I believe it comes at different ages for different folks. Let's look at maturity, how it comes to different people, different children at different ages today. To know right from wrong and know that when you tell a lie that you did wrong. To know that when you stole, you did something wrong. To know that when you robbed somebody, that it was wrong. I believe that when you come to know right from wrong, that's when you come to the age of accountability and God begins to speak to your heart. You say, what do you base that upon? Because the Bible says, that we ought to seek the Lord in the days of our youth before the evil days come. And the evil days come when we come to a place in our life that we begin to wander outside of the bounds that mom and dad set for us. How many of us today was introduced to things in schoolhouse that mom and dad never had in their house? We heard things like we'd never heard before. We seen things like we'd never seen before. And the evil days come because the devil doesn't care what your age is. He will use everyone he can to get his work done in people's lives. Look at the number of children, young people that have committed heinous crimes. They knew better. And the devil used them to go out and do things that they should not do. When we look at the age of accountability and how that you know that right is right and wrong is wrong. Nobody had to tell us what was right or wrong because in our house, mom and dad taught us what was right and what was wrong. And if we did wrong, we got in trouble for it. I knew right from wrong before God ever spoke to my heart because I was taught it at home. A lot of people today aren't taught what is right or wrong. And there is no sense of wrong. And they say that they don't come to that age of accountability. But regardless of what you've been taught, every one of us, by God's word, There will come a time in our life that God will speak to us like He never spoke before. And we will be condemned about our wrongdoings. I was saved at 11 years old. I had not committed any of these heinous crimes, but when the Lord spoke to me, I realized I was lost and undone and on my way to hell for eternity. You say there's no way that an 11-year-old could go die and go to hell. If people leave this world and, listen, have come to the age of accountability and rejected God, they will spend an eternity in an awful place of hell and destruction, just like the most heinous of criminals and people, sinners that there are, that will be there as well. I preach it like this, and some folks may not like it, but it's the Word of God, and I feel that He impressed it upon my spirit many years ago like this. There will be grandmas and grandpas in hell. There will be moms and dads in hell. There will be young children in hell. Because anyone that comes to the age of accountability and then rejects God could stand in judgment for their decision. Doesn't matter what their age is. I've known of some that got saved at 7 years old. Some that say that they got saved at 8 years old. And you say, that's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. If He speaks to their heart and they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ, you say, but they've done nothing wrong. We've all come short of the glory of God. And because of Adam's fall, it went from generation to generation to generation. And if time goes on, it will even go to the next generation. Everyone will come to a point in their life that they have to look at where they stand with God. Here, Jesus said, bring them unto me. Moms and dads, we ought to bring our children to God and say, Lord, bless them. And those that are under the age of accountability, you don't have to worry about them. God's got them protected. And then there's some today that never come to the age of accountability. And you say, Roger, what are you talking about? There's some people, there's some folks that don't have the, and I'm very careful with this, don't have the capacity to know right from wrong. And I believe, Brother Jeff, God has got them under His arms of protection also. Don't you? They don't know what's right or wrong. And because of that, God has not given them, doesn't have to give them an invitation because they're already His. Because they don't have the capacity to make that kind of decision. But today, every one of us, and I'm looking at a congregation tonight, that every one of us, today I believe in this audience, you've either come to the age of accountability or you've already been there and God has dealt with your heart and you've been saved by His marvelous grace. There are some that's with us tonight that may have come to that age and you reject God and say, but I'll wait until I'm older and then I'll give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. You wait too long and the devil will mess up your life. You wait too long and you'll find yourself in predicaments that you cannot get yourself out of. Or he'll have you do something that you will forever be ashamed of. And the devil will use that against you for the rest of your life. You see, the devil wants you to think there's no way out. And the only way out is by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me. Many folks today are coming to that age of accountability. I believe as we get further down life's journey in time, we see that young people today, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, aren't the same as young people were when we was growing up. They're wiser. They're smarter. And they're introduced to things at a whole lot earlier age than you and I may have been when we was growing up, or may not even been introduced to or heard about until we was in adulthood. Amen? They're introduced to these things. And you say, Roger, does that mean that they've come to the age of accountability? Some of them have been taught, stay away from it. Stay away from it because it will mar your life. Some of them have been just let to go to experiment with whatever they want and then let them decide what is right and wrong. Folks, let me tell you, that's a dangerous procument that there to allow a child to just go out and experiment and then later decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong. I'll tell you, what is right is God's way. What is wrong is the devil's way. And people say, well, I have to run with the crowd in order to be popular in school or to be part of the crowd. I was never popular. I was never part of the crowd. Because we wasn't allowed to do what the rest of the kids did. How many of you was in that predicament? We was held in tight check because mom and dad knew what the devil would do if he got a hold of us and would not let go. The age of accountability comes at different ages. But when your mind... Follow me. When your mind meditates upon evil things or bad things or things that are against God's word, that is the devil trying to get a stronghold in your life, and he will not let go. You say, but I can control my actions. I can control what I do. You can't control yourself when the devil is in charge. You've got to have a mightier power than what the devil is. When you come to that age and you begin to think about the things that are against God and against what Christians and what we've been taught to stand for, that's when you know that you need to examine your life. And you say, but God has never spoke to me. People ignore God's word. People ignore the knock of God upon their heart. And they just let it pass by them and say, I'll wait for another day. When you're at that age, as these little children or as these young children, little children that were brought to him, their parents wanted them to be protected and be blessed in their life. Today we're living in a time when children, as I said before, are growing up faster than what they've ever grown up. When you hear about, and I had a young man that's still in school to tell me this, in the eighth grade, by the time they're in the eighth grade, they're experimenting with drugs and alcohol. They're experimenting with sex. And you say, Roger, that has no place in the house of God. Let me tell you, if we don't warn them, the devil is going to open the invitational door and welcome them in, and then we're going to be praying, Lord, help them in their condition. When what we ought to be praying is, Lord, speak to their hearts that they might realize that they need to know you in a free pardon of sin. This young man that shared that with me just a few weeks back said, you would not believe the number of friends that are using drugs on a daily basis, and they're in the eighth grade. They're introduced to it. And you say, does that mean that they're at the age of accountability? As we get to know right from wrong at an earlier age in life, then yes, I don't know what the age is. All I know is you're at the age of accountability when God speaks to your heart. And you reject him, it's a dangerous thing. Jesus blessed those kids. When I was growing up, they didn't have baby dedication services. But I'm glad that mom and dad loved me enough to take me to church and dedicate my life unto God. They asked God to watch over us. And I remember conversations with my mother. I don't know where we was at, but for some reason, of five of us kids, I was the only one in the car. And I was going into junior high school. And I remember Mom saying to me, you're no longer in elementary school. You're going to junior high school, and you'll be offered things that you need to stay away from. Anybody ever, Mom, ever have that conversation with anybody else? There'll be people that'll try to get you to do things that you ought to stay away from. And you know what my response was in my head? My mom's just old. She just don't want me to have any friends. She don't want me to have any fun. But what Mom was doing was giving me the most sound advice from the Word of God without reciting Scripture. Did you know you could tell somebody about God without quoting a Scripture? She was giving me sound advice. Stay away from sin. Sin will do you harm. It will make you into a person that you don't want to be. It will get you to go places that you don't have any business being. And people today, young people especially, because they want to be accepted by their peers and accepted into the crowds. Let me give you some strong advice tonight. Most crowds aren't accepting you. They're accepting what you have to offer. And when what you have to offer is gone or not of any interest anymore, you will no longer be part of the crowd. That's the truth. You've come to the age of accountability, to know right from wrong, to know that God is God. How many of you believe in God tonight? And you know that there is a God. You know that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And yet, you've never given your life and heart to Jesus Christ. And you say, but I'm young. I want to live. I want to have a good time. That's the devil speaking. If you really want to have a good life, you need to get right with God. These kids went away blessed. You can be blessed tonight. At no matter what age you might be, and I want to close with this final thought. It is not 12 years old. I had a person tell me years ago that the pastor of their church approached her son and said, you're now 12 years old. It's time for you to step forward and be baptized and become part of the church. What dangerous doctrine. Because some people believe just because you got baptized, that means that you're saved. Before I ever got baptized, I got baptized. How many of you remember when the fire of the Holy Ghost fell upon your life? And you say, that scares me, Roger. It don't scare. It's not a literal fire that comes down. But it's a fire that it burns the sin out of your life. And makes you a fit subject for the kingdom of God. I've had others to say that when you, in fact, just this year, a man was telling me that in a certain church, that when you become a certain age, around 12 years old, it's time for you to go to classes and learn about God, learn catechism, learn how to be a good person and dedicate your life. I questioned him about it because I've heard of these classes for many years. And I said, what does that mean? He said, that would be in your vernacular. He said, that would be like being born again. Where you go and you learn how to be a good Christian and you learn how to work for the church and to give and all the things that's associated with it. I'm not preaching something I don't know about. I'm preaching you the truth. But yet, in our church or churches, there's not an age or classes that start to tell people how to be a child of God. You know how you learn to be a child of God? You have to be saved first. And then once you're saved, you can learn how to be a child of God. We got some good teachers today, church. I honor our adult Sunday school teachers. I honor our primary and our in-betweens, whatever they may be called. I don't even know what the titles are. I honor them. On Friday night, I had the privilege of sitting in a Bible study that Tara and Jeff hosted, and I see people wanting to learn about God. How many of you want to know more about him tonight? You know how we learn more? By getting in his word and dedicating ourselves to it. And open up this book and begin to read it and study it. Instead of paying attention to the things of this world. We've got young people with us. We've got maybe some of your people that's at home tonight. That how many of you got loved ones you believe with all your heart that's come to the age of accountability and have never accepted Jesus Christ? How many of you got them tonight? Hands all over the house. You know what it tells me, Brother Eli? We need to get the word of God out to these that have come to the age of accountability in love and compassion. And tell them that Jesus loves them and Jesus wants to save them and bless their lives from this day forward before the devil comes in and destroys their lives. And he will destroy your life. He will. He'll take your life and make you just completely miserable. You'll be the talk of the town, but not in a good way. You'll be the life of the party until you run out. And then you'll no longer be part of that party. You see, when you come to the age of accountability, well, they get a song. This is the most important part of this whole message. When you come to the age of accountability, you are faced with a decision that could affect the rest of your life. It could affect the rest of your life. And I say it could because there's no promise that God will come back again. If he does, it's by his grace and mercy. Amen, Brother Jim. He may never walk by your house again. You say, but I'm young, I got plenty of time. The Bible says God will not always strive with man. He will not always strive with man. The invitation that you've been given may not come back by your house. Sister Sharon sings a song that talks about a man that was given an invitation, but he rejected it. And time went by. And he wanted the invitation. And he pleaded with God. But it was too late. You say, Roger, you're trying to scare us. No, I'm trying to get you to realize it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a just God. You say, he won't come back again? I don't know that he will. But also, I don't know that he won't. He may. But while he has given you that opportunity, and you're at that age of accountability, I ask you, while they sing us a verse of a song, why don't you come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Would you stand tonight while they sing for us? Something got a hold. How many of you remember that night? Yes. Anybody want to come tonight and say, Lord, save me? You know that you are at that place in your life. You know that the devil's offering many things. But God is offering even greater things if you'll just trust him. Would you follow your heart tonight? God wants to bless you. The devil wants to curse you. Why don't you make that step this morning or this evening? Yes. Listen at this. Thank God.
Something got a hold of me.
You're there tonight. Why don't you allow God to come in and give you the best gift that you'll ever receive in the gift of salvation? Yes, listen to that. Yes, it came down. Yes. Yes, no reason at all. If you've not, why don't you step out and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Yes. Something got a hold of me.
I went there.
Yes. We went because we was made to go. Now we get to go. Amen and amen. Brother Eli's coming in. While they get us a verse of another song, let me give this to you tonight. You say, well, everything's all right. See, a lot of folks, church, wasn't raised the way that many of us were. We may not have had much. In fact, we may have been even the laughing stock of the neighborhood. Kids at school laughed at us because we couldn't dress like they did. We couldn't wear the clothes or the shoes that they wore. But Mom and Dad did take us to church. And we learned about God. At that time, we thought it was one of the worst things that could ever happen, to be drugged to church all the time. But looking back, I would not change my life with anybody's, because I learned about the most important thing there is in life. You may not have been raised in church. You may not even understand a lot of things about the Bible. But let me tell you, even when I got saved, being raised in church, there's still a lot of things I don't understand. But one thing I do, I believe the book from cover to cover. And the book tells us that sinners must be saved by the grace of God. One last verse and then we'll close. Church, there's folks that need to move tonight. It's up to you. You have that choice tonight. Will you follow God or will you follow the devil? It's your choice. It's your choice tonight. Would you take that step tonight? You're around friends and family that love you. If I could walk it for you, I would. But nobody could walk it for me. I had to come by myself. But yet, once I made that first step, I've had a friend that joined me. And he's been with me ever since. It's up to you. God moving in the midst of our church. And although the service may be over, God can be contacted at any time. anytime. Anytime that you bow your head. I preached this morning about and made mention of making deal with God, pleading with God, as the man of old did. You know, as I laid upon my bed that night when I rejected the Lord, I was scared to death that I would die before I got back to church and spend eternity in hell. And I made a deal with the Lord that if he let me get back to church. See, I didn't know that I could ask him right then and there. How many of you got saved outside of the church house? Raise your hand. Look at that. You know how you got saved? The same way us that got saved in the church house. You called upon the Lord and asked him for forgiveness of your sins, and he saved you. You can call upon him anywhere tonight. We want to go into our business meeting at this time.